following program is a recorded broadcast. Please do not attempt to call the program. Phone lines are not open.
Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. St. Paul said, I determined to know nothing among you except Christ and Him crucified. He said that, I think, to the Corinthians. Did he mean that for all Christians? When he was preaching to the Galatians, was he preaching only Christ and Him crucified? To the Ephesians, to whoever Paul would preach, was it always Christ and Him crucified? Or did Paul have more important things to preach about, especially after they became Christians? Is that the way it works? We preach Christ crucified to sinners, to unbelievers, to get them saved, and then after that we've got more important things to share with them from the pulpit. We'll find out during this hour of Issues Etc. My guest, joining me here in just a minute, Dr. Rod Rosenblatt. If you'd like to join us, our phone number is 1-800-730-2727. Dr. Rod Rosenblatt is a regular guest here on Issues Etc. He's professor of systematic theology and Christian apologetics at Concordia University in Irvine, California, co-host of the national radio program called The White Horse Inn, and author of the booklet titled Christ Alone. Dr. Rosenblatt, welcome back. Dr. Rosenblatt, welcome to the show. We'll get Rod here in just a minute. You know, one of the problems that we face here as a church is that Christ crucified has, well, it seems to have been lost in the shuffle. Paul says that's all he knew among the Corinthians. However, the Christians to whom he preached seem to have something else on their mind. The Corinthians, the Galatians, why does he always come back to Christ and Him crucified? Why does Paul repeatedly return, whether it be the error of the Galatians or the error of the Corinthians, or those errors that we don't see so readily? Why does he always return to Christ on the cross? Why does he say to the Galatians, far be it from me to glory in anything, saved the cross of Christ? St. Paul seems to be obsessed. Are we to be similarly obsessed with Christ and Him crucified? Rod Rosenblatt joins us now. Hi, Rod. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Rod, first of all, what does it mean to preach Christ and Him crucified?
Well, it's a complex question. You want it in 15 seconds or less?
No, you can take as much time as you like, Rod.
Well, the background is the preaching of the law, and it doesn't make any sense until you have as a background the preaching of the law in its full severity. Now, that sounds really, really simple, but there isn't a lot of that going on, and I don't just mean the mega churches.
Well, hold on a second. Before you go on, what do you mean by the preaching of the law?
Well, the severity of Moses. Do this or else you will die. Here are the Ten Commandments, and they must be obeyed, every single one of them, without fail, your whole life long, and you've got to do it from the inside, not just from external coercion from God, and you've got to obey it absolutely without fail, or you stand under His condemnation. There isn't a lot of that being said these days.
Okay, so we're not yet to Christ and Him crucified.
No. No, but Christ and Him crucified makes no sense apart from this. This is why the megachurch movement is doomed to fail in the long run.
Okay, what's the connection between what you call the megachurch movement and the lack of preaching Christ crucified, or as you have said, the lack of preaching the law in all of its severity?
Yeah, in the church growth movement, the preaching of the law simply is not user-friendly, so you don't do it. The idea is that you're going to bring people in to listen to a message that they've said would please them. And the message that the preachers believe will please them is that Jesus or that God loves them. But there's no background to it in the severity of what God requires of us in the Bible by the law. So in leaving that out, you can say Jesus loves you till you're blue in the face, but it has not a lot of meaning. I had a fellow say to me one time, well, gosh, if you talk to him, tell him thanks. I can use all the love I can get. it has no impact because there's no need. It is the law that drives us, Luther said, in our need to say to ourselves, if this is the standard, I'll never make it. I am condemned, and if there is a hell, I'm going there. This is awful. Kind of a pre-suicidal despair. And that's what the law is designed primarily to do. If you aren't preaching that, and you're just saying to people, Jesus loves you, you get responses like I got from that guy.
All right, so the way to preach Christ crucified is not simply to say, Jesus died for you, Jesus loves you. There's a preparation in preaching, which takes the form of preaching God's law. But you said that the megachurch movement was doomed to fail. You just said that.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like it's failing. It looks like it's booming.
I know.
What do you mean by fail?
Everybody thinks I'm crazy when I say that. Well, if you're preaching tips on getting along better, practical preaching of how to raise drug-free children or how to have a more intimate marriage, kind of a pop psych thing. When times get bad, your need for that, a human being's need for that, is very light in the saddle. That sort of thing sits like a mosquito on the surface tension of water on a lake because it doesn't go down deep enough to where our need really is, whether we know it or not. The Bible says our deepest need is to have our sin forgiven. And we don't like to think that, but the Bible says that that's our deepest need, to be rescued from the ramifications of our having disobeyed God. So the megachurch movement, in the long run, will go the way probably of revivalism. I know people already who will say, as one Campus Crusade member said to me one time, there's got to be more to it than this. They sensed intuitively that there was more to Christianity than they were getting. And, of course, they were correct.
All right.
That guy was correct.
I mentioned in the open that there are numerous places throughout, especially the writings of Paul, where he almost seems obsessed, singularly concerned with the cross of Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh. 1 Corinthians. Sure.
Somebody might say, that's Paul. That's uh-huh. Paul. That's not us today. We've got other things that people need to hear. How do you respond?
Well, if you verify that the Christian faith is true, and I won't go through an apologetic for that, but let's just say that you could give evidence that the Bible was true, then you find out that the Bible talks about the whole human race, and we're included in that. Luther said that if we were stuck with trying to discover our own sinfulness apart from Scripture, we would never do it. It's going to have to be Scripture that tells us that. And then we're in a society that says, Scripture, Schmipture. You know, you have your Scripture, I have my Quran, and somebody else has their Book of Mormon. So presupposing that you can give an argument that Scripture is like no other book in the world, Scripture tells us what we can't find out ourselves by looking in the mirror, and that is we're in deep, deep trouble with a holy God.
St. Paul writes to the Corinthians. They have a particular problem in their congregations. The Galatians, they've got another problem. And I imagine we could go through each one of his epistles and find a problem there to which he is addressing. Why does Paul always go back to the cross, regardless of the error of his readers?
He knew that ultimately the answer was in Christ's death for them. We imagine that we need 14 new ways to market, or 10 ways to reach our children, or other things. Paul knew that the message of Christianity focused on Jesus' death and blood, substituting for our punishment that we deserved, and that was what Christianity is and was. We aren't so sure of that today, but he was.
Okay, someone's going to say, look, Rod, you're really advocating that the pastor waste his time in the pulpit because he's got a congregation full of Christians. There may be 10% unbelievers out there, and sure, they need to hear Christ crucified, but the next Sunday when there are fewer unbelievers out there, he needs to get on with the show.
Yeah, and you hear that all the time. I used to tell my students at an evangelical college, you've never really heard the preaching of the gospel other than maybe at an evangelistic meeting. And they'd say, no, we hear the preaching of the gospel every Sunday we go to a Bible-believing church. And I'd say, okay, give me an example of what you get from the pulpit. And every bit of it was lessons on sanctification, lessons in the Christian life, directives to follow, how to do this, even biblical sorts of things, how to accomplish the sanctified life. And I'd say, I rest my case. You're hearing the law preached to you. And they'd say, well, we've been evangelized, for heaven's sakes. Why would we need the gospel? And I said, that's why you're in churches like you're in, because you don't know that you need to hear the gospel. You don't know the difference between the two.
So Christians need to hear Christ crucified?
Christians need to hear Christ crucified, not to evangelize them. They're already believers. But it is normal to come into church Sunday morning saying, I wonder if I'm still a believer, because my sanctified life is so low. Maybe I'm not really a Christian. Maybe I need to be born again again. That's normal to have that kind of worry and doubt. I tell my pastors, and I'm a theologian, I say, just placard the law and Christ before my eyes. Christ in a particular way.
All right, when we come back from this break, Rod Rosenblatt has spent a lot of time among evangelicals, and he knows what happens when the church neglects preaching Christ crucified, or supposes that it can move beyond Christ crucified and give Christians something more than Jesus on the cross. We'll find out what that is and how does that manifest itself? What is the result when Christ crucified isn't preached? Our phone number, 1-800-730-2727. Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, professor of systematic theology and Christian apologetics at Concordia University in Irvine, California, is my guest. We're talking about preaching Christ crucified, preaching Christ alone.
You're listening to Issues Etc. on the Jubilee Network.
Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc. This allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are three levels of giving. The confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. And the reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. Now, each Reformation Club member receives premiums like monthly tapes, books, and transcripts. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club today by making a gift payable to Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. By credit card, our resource line number, 1-800-737-0172, or online, issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Folks, if you listen to Issues Etc. on a regular basis, you know that our primary purpose is to teach and defend the biblical truths rediscovered at the 16th century Reformation. Grace alone, faith alone, Scripture alone, and the most important of all these solas, Christ alone, just like we're doing this hour with our guest, Dr. Rod Rosenblatt. Now, if you support us in proclaiming Christ alone to a dying world and to a church that still needs to hear Christ alone, please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. You can make a credit card donation by calling our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Or you can make your check payable to Issues Etc. and mail it to Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. It's Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Folks, we're going to spend more than $120,000 this year on purchasing satellite and airtime. If you want to know how much we spend on airtime in your market, go to our website, issuesetc.org. Under the section titled What's New, you'll find a breakdown of airtime and satellite costs for your market. The phone number again, 1-800-737-0172. Our address, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. And as always, thank you for your prayers and thank you for your support. Dr. Rod Rosenblatt is my guest. We're talking about preaching Christ crucified, preaching Christ alone. Rod, you've spent a lot of time in the evangelical world, and you write about what you call the inner soliloquy many Christians experience week by week. Tell us about that.
Well, if you're really hearing the law Sunday and you don't really know that it's law, you don't operate with that distinction between law and gospel, what actually happens is you figure that everybody else is making their way upwards and onwards in their Christian growth, everybody except for you. But you got to keep that a secret because it seems that everybody else is doing it. And if you admit it to them, they'll be shocked. Somebody might say, well, maybe I'll pray for you to be saved. And you're in this utter confusion as to why it doesn't get better more quickly. If everybody else is able to pull this off with the recipes of Christian growth, why aren't you? And it drives you nuts inside. I knew that if students at an evangelical college wanted to take me out for lunch, it would probably have to do with whether this thing about being simultaneously justified before God and remaining a sinner was really biblical and true. Sounded really suspect. But if it was biblical and true, it might be the thing that would crack the trap that they were in.
So they found themselves confronted day by day with their own sin.
Sure.
They used the standard of, well, everyone else seems to be moving along just swimmingly in this Christian sanctification stuff, and I'm the one who's bogged down. And what was their conclusion?
Well,
do they doubt their salvation?
There really wasn't a conclusion. Maybe there was part to the recipe that they hadn't yet gotten. You know, maybe there was another Christian speaker who could put them better onto the track of a formula that really would work for them. It wasn't as if, you know, these people I didn't, you know, really feel very angry at. They were sheep reflecting what the shepherds were saying.
So what did you say to them, Rod?
Well, I was doing Lutheran theology at an evangelical college, but thank God they knew it. They said, go ahead and do it. I said, okay, you realize, though, how this will go. Campus Crusade said the same thing. I said, now you know this is like asking a fox to guard the hen house. And they did. And they said, go ahead and do it. Well, the class splits like Moses and the Red Sea in half were saying, if this is true and biblical, it's the best thing as a believer I've ever heard in my life. This has some hope to it. And the other half of the class was praying that Rosenblatt would be saved.
So the simply putting forth the scriptural truth that Christians need to hear the gospel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was that remarkable?
Well, they didn't think so at first, but as soon as I got to asking them about the details of how their whole church lives had gone, then it sounded pretty radical. The only category they had for preaching the gospel to believers was evangelistic crusades, and many of them Baptists had experienced somebody themselves and others being at one where it never would end. They were always waiting for somebody to come forward to the altar call, but that everybody there already was a believer. And by the time you do that long enough, it makes healthy people sick. You know, you start to wonder if you are a believer when you do this long enough. It's a strange and awful thing. But it was the only category they had. When I said, look, there is such a thing as preaching the gospel to those who are already believers. And they said, what would that sound like? Because all they could think of was evangelizing pagans. They didn't have a category for it.
Well, okay. Is the gospel preached to believers the same gospel preached to the pagans when you're evangelizing them?
Absolutely, it's the same gospel, but it doesn't sound the same because you're not talking to people who need to come out of their paganism and be in Christ. You're talking to people who are believers but wondering why it isn't working better or that they feel inside even more rebellious than they did before they were Christians. And to say, Christ was crucified for Christians who fail to live the Christian life. His death is so great in its effect that when you're at the judgment seat, the blood by itself will be sufficient for your justification before God, even given the sin in your Christian life.
So even a Christian can be saved.
Even a Christian can be saved. The blood of Christ is so great in its effect, it can even save a Christian.
All right. One thing mystifies me. You're talking about the common mindset among evangelicals, but there's a whole branch of Reformation theology where this stuff is, this is boilerplate theology. This is standard operating procedure that the gospel is preached to Christians. But if you ask those Christians who are sitting in those pews who hear the gospel, the law and the gospel, every Sunday, many of them will say, And you say, what's wrong with preaching today? Many of them say, there's not enough law. There's not enough to-dos.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, finally, I'm not really sure of that, but I keep trying to ask it. I had one student one time, Missouri Synod Lutheran, who said exactly that. And so I pursued it. I said, you know, that's really interesting you would say that. Can I probe a little further? And she said, sure, go ahead. I said, why exactly do you think it is that we need more of the law and less of the gospel? And as the conversation went along, what she had learned that preaching the gospel was in her Lutheran congregation was the pastor repeating innumerable times through her whole life, God loves you. That was to her what the preaching of the gospel was. Well, she compared that to what some of her friends were hearing that was more educationally oriented or more law-oriented and said, we need more of that. And I can see how she came to that conclusion, because there was no real delving into how the cross works. All of the wonderful things are contained in the Reformation. The pastor was repeating as a parrot or an eight-track loop tape could repeat, God loves you. God loves you is not the gospel.
All right, before we go to the break, if that's not the gospel, give us a clear exposition of what the gospel is, what preaching Christ crucified, what preaching Christ alone sounds like.
It's basically in 1 Corinthians 15 where Paul says, I'm delivering to you what I also first received, how that Christ died for our sin in accordance with the Scriptures. He was buried and entombed for 3 days, and the third day rose again from the dead according to the Scriptures and was seen by this person and that person. It's actually objective, but it has to do with Christ dying for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, being entombed for us, and rising again for our justification.
So it's a lot more than just God loves you.
Oh, absolutely. And that's what this young girl sensed was missing, and the only thing she could think that would fix it was going to a style that her evangelical friends went to, and that was more preaching of the law.
You know, folks, one of the criticisms I recently heard, it wasn't of me personally, it was just of my theological bent. They said, you Lutherans are obsessed with the forgiveness of sins.
Yep.
The forgiveness of sins, that's all you guys talk about. Can't you ever get off the forgiveness of sins? When we come back, we're going to find out why it is that Reformation theology is seemingly obsessed with the forgiveness of sins in Christ alone, in Christ crucified. I'm Todd Wilken, my guest Dr. Rod Rosenblatt. We'll be right back.
Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, co-host of the national radio show The White Horse Inn, on the importance of Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. presents Jesus Christ and His saving work out of the text of the Bible. The teaching of Christ alone is the driving force of this program. It deals with the important issues of our time with carefully chosen guests and hosts who are knowledgeable in the Scriptures, history, and their application. On Issues Etc., you will not hear pop evangelicalism, but confessional Lutheran theology fluently presented.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift this week. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can make a credit card donation by calling our resource line at 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. You're listening to Issues Etc. on the Jubilee Network.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen, Senior Editor at Concordia Publishing House, on the Christ-centered cross focus of Growing in Christ, the new Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House.
We've been very intentional in one, teaching the Scriptures. We are concerned about Bible literacy. Pastors tell us they get kids in confirmation that they don't know any of the Bible stories, they don't know any of the Bible people. So we're trying to teach the Bible stories, the who, what, where, and when. But we're teaching them in the context of Christ. And every story, every week, be it Old or New Testament, connects to Christ as the Savior.
For more information about Growing in Christ, call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or find the Growing in Christ logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org. It's a Christ-centered, cross-focused Sunday school curriculum, Growing in Christ.
Evolutionists, they're looking through tinted glasses.
Answers with Ken Ham, whose ministry hosts the NRB website of the year. Ken, what type of tinted glasses are evolutionists even peering through?
I want to give you an example of how evolutionists can see evidence totally against their belief, staring them right in the face. Yet because they wear evolutionist tinted glasses, they can't see the obvious. On a TV documentary, a paleontologist from Australia was talking about a large lizard that was supposed to have become extinct millions of years ago. This scientist said, quote, "Now, one of the things that we have here is a part of a hip bone or pelvis. Now, this specimen actually looks like it had come from an animal that looks like it died 200 or 300 years ago. In Montana, I've seen dinosaur bones that look like they'd come from animals that died 200 or 300 years ago, and I know very well that they died much longer than that," end of quote. So even though the bones look only hundreds of years old, they can't be. And why? Because he says he knows they're millions of years old. He believes in evolution. This man dismisses the evidence in front of him. He needs to take off his evolutionary tinted glasses and put on biblical ones. Then he'd realize the evidence fits with Genesis.
For the biblical and scientific evidence that dinosaurs have been around recently, look up our popular website, AnswersRadio.com. Read Ken Ham's free booklet on dinosaurs when you go to AnswersRadio.com.
Dr. Dean Wenthe, the president of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why a man should consider studying for the pastoral ministry.
It's the most beautiful and wonderful calling to expound the goodness and the grace of God in Christ and to spread the good news of Christ's victory over death. You're carrying eternal good news and the life of Christ through His Word, His sacraments, and we welcome any who want to consider the ministry to visit our faculty in action, our worship, because you'll see there the word of a loving and present God who has bestowed all things in Christ.
For more information about Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, call them toll-free 1-800-481-2155. Or visit our website, issuesetc.org.
Today's technology, bioethics, sanctity of life. If you would like to be better prepared to approach these complex issues from a Christian perspective, perhaps you would benefit by visiting LutheransForLife.org. LutheransForLife.org is the official website of Lutherans for Life. And there you'll find information about stem cell research, understanding the basics, cloning, and in vitro fertilization at LutheransForLife.org.
Next week on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss religious symbols in the public square with Christian apologist and law professor Dr. John Warwick Montgomery. Should Christians demand the display of the nativity scene, the creche, on public property? Should Christians also support the display of, say, the Star of David, the menorah, the crescent moon, the pentagram? We'll talk about it next week on Issues Etc. with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery. Now, if you'd like to know what we're going to be discussing each week on our program in the weeks ahead, go to our website at issuesetc.org. There you'll find a list of topics and guests for the weeks ahead. And when you're there, be sure to read a chapter from Dr. Rod Rosenblatt's book called Christ Alone. The chapter's titled Sola Christus and the Pastor. You'll find it under the What's New section of the website, issuesetc.org. We're talking about preaching Christ crucified, preaching Christ alone. Dr. Rod Rosenblatt is my guest. Our phone number, 1-800-730-2727. That's 1-800-730-2727. Rod, are Reformation theologians obsessed with the forgiveness of sins? And if they are, why?
Well, I think you can say that. I sort of wear that criticism proudly. If the whole Bible is about how God is going to act to rescue a rebellious world, then we're on to the basic plot line of the whole drama if we're talking about the forgiveness of sins. You know, in Adler's How to Read a Book. You've got to figure out, what is this book about? The Bible is about God rescuing people who rebelled against him and don't even want to be rescued. That's the basic plot line. And so when you're talking about forgiveness of sins, Luther would say it's forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. They're all synonyms. We're on at least to the basic plot line of what the book is about. The usual criticism is that we just don't help people enough with the life of sanctification. I have that conversation, if I've had it once, I've had it 1,000 times, and I'll bet every single Lutheran pastor has. It isn't that the Lutherans don't have a doctrine of sanctification. It's that fallen people want to get away from talking about justification and the blood and the cross, and our inclination is, let me talk about me and my growth. How can you help me talk about me and my growth?
So we're really talking, when we talk about keeping the focus on the forgiveness of sins, we're talking about keeping the focus on Christ.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And the objective Christ, not the one inside helping me, the one nailed to the cross outside of me, bleeding.
Okay, there are all kinds of Christs being proclaimed today, Rod. You start out by talking about Christ the psychotherapist. What does that sound like?
Well, in many cases, Christ is being laid out before people who are having all sorts of inner problems, family problems. Our culture is having deep, deep troubles within the family, the loss of the father and all sorts of things that are causing this. And so Christ is laid out by the church as the one who will heal if you will come. That's tremendously attractive, except it isn't the basic message of the Bible in the way that the New Testament presents it. Christ is, first of all, the one who died to solve our problem with God and his justice and his holiness.
Now, you're not saying that Christ cannot heal inner wounds, psychological trauma.
No, I'm not saying that. And I'd be the first one to say, if somebody has a Christian psychotherapist who really understands what he's doing, or she, they have somebody who is of more worth than much fine gold. I don't think there's a large percentage of these, but if somebody's got one, that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And Christ is not indifferent to our inner mess. He cares about it, and that's one more thing that he wills that we would have healed. He isn't against us, he's for us. But any of these things that turn us away from what he is primarily, and away from a person saying, well, my first problem is sin, and Jesus solved that by dying for me and declaring me as if I were just a just person.
Well, maybe another pitfall in Christ as a psychotherapist might be that I'm a victim. I'm a victim of circumstance.
Yes.
I'm a victim of someone else's evil. I am a victim of the world's bad situation. And and then we're not back. Then we're losing sight of what you talked about at the very beginning. A good, solid dose of the law that precedes preaching what Christ has done for us at the cross.
Yeah. Victimhood will really shunt the effects of law and gospel away from a person. And the 20th century or 21st century is just filled with it. You're exactly right.
All right. The next one you talk about is Christ our example. Isn't Christ our example?
Yeah, he is our example. It's amazing how few verses there are about that actually in the New Testament, but he is our example. But when he is our example, it is Christ as law. That's what we don't get. If the pastor is laying out some sort of lesson in moralism using Christ or David, but primarily Christ, as the one that we should emulate, when we have troubles like this, we should emulate Jesus who dealt with this problem this way. The truth is, that's preaching the law. It's not preaching the gospel. So if he does that, he'd better talk about later on that Christ has died for those who don't emulate him very well.
So a sermon can be full of mentions of Jesus. Jesus'
Absolutely.
Name can be all over a sermon, but if it's Jesus the example which we are bound to follow and emulate, where does that leave us?
Yeah, it absolutely leads us to despair. And sometimes, I think consistently, if the person arrives there, it's worse than having Moses condemn us. Because Jesus was the one we were expecting to be an answer to Moses. And preaching like that leads to the impression that Jesus is Moses to the second or third power. Then where do you go?
Well, this really highlights the dilemma for evangelicals who may be hearing a lot about Jesus, But it's Jesus, the moral teacher, Jesus, the example. What would Jesus do, Jesus? They come to know Christ and the forgiveness of sins when they're saved, but then that's all history. From now on, I've got to live up to this guy's example.
That's having the
ultimate big brother and living in his shadow.
That's right. And it's pumped at you through curriculum, Sunday school curriculum and Bible studies, through pulpit ministry, sometimes even through music. And this is just devastating to people who have any degree of sensitivity in them at all. And they're trying, and the message comes at them that they should emulate Jesus better. You know, this is what has led a lot of people that I've known to say, I tried the Jesus thing, or I was a Christian, I couldn't pull it off.
Now, here's a point that I've heard you make before, Rod. You find a lot of evangelicals so beaten down with Jesus as the example, you actually say to them, before you become an atheist,
yep,
try Reformation theology. Why do you say that? Atheist?
Well, oh, yeah, the natural move is from trying and trying and trying and failing and failing and failing and trying and trying and trying and failing and failing and failing to the Jesus our example thing is to leave the faith completely. It isn't to become Roman Catholic. It isn't to become Eastern Orthodox. It isn't to become any kind of other kind of Christian. It's to leave in angry George Carlin unbelief. And you meet them all the time. And you say, tell me about what kind of church life you had as a kid or when you were young, and it's always the same thing. It's that the Bible was used as a legal instrument to tell them how they ought to live, and Jesus was the one who lived it out, and you're to look at him and copy. And finally a person says, I can't do it. I felt better as a pagan. I'm going back to paganism. And it's understandable why they would.
Well, and there are a lot of pagans who teach Jesus as an example, aren't
there? Sure. Sure, there's nothing particularly Christian about it at all. This is why I would say to people, if you will find a church where the theology is formed by the Reformation, you will not just hear about Jesus, who's the one you're to copy. After you become a Christian, you'll continue to hear in many, many ways about Jesus, who died for you and who's dying for you still suffices this week and next week. It still rescues you one-sidedly. Apart from your failure, it is still enough. That blood will rescue you. You'll find something and hear something that actually heals.
The next Christ that is preached that you make note of is the Christ who gives health and wealth.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Well, that's in the wider, you know, Trinity Broadcasting Pentecostal culture, and Lutherans don't run into it as much as others do, but they sure as heck are going to see it on their televisions, that if you're really faithful, God will reward you with health and with money. And if you don't get the health and the money, there's something you better look at about your faith, because if it were okay, you'd get it. Now, this is much more common in Pentecostal circles. But still, if we imagine that Reformation people don't listen to Christian radio or sometimes watch Christian TV, we're naive. Our people do. They have no framework for that kind of stuff. Once in a while, we probably should give them a little as to what's going on in Pentecostalism, at least so they've got their bearings as to what makes it what it is.
Well, isn't there a more subtle form of this? I mean, you can cite Trinity Broadcasting Network and televangelists on this all day long, but I think there's a more subtle form of it, Rod, and that's, you know, if we really had the right kind of faith, our church would grow. We would have numerical success.
Yes, there's a lot of that, and the Missouri Synod is up against this right now. I remember when I read through Otto Heick's two-volume History of Christian Theology way back when, and one of the most wonderful things that guy did, and he was no real conservative either. He was much too enamored of Karl Barth and Rudolf Bultmann and some others. But in writing his History of Christian Theology, he, and only he as far as I know, wrote the names and little stories of faithful Lutheran pastors who did what they were called to do even in the terrible periods of rationalism and of pietism. And instead of joining in with what was going on during their day, they very quietly preached Christ and ministered to their people law and gospel their whole lives long. And I can imagine, just like a guy today saying, man, oh man, am I the only one out of step? Everybody else's church is growing by the thousands, and ours isn't. I'm so out of step. But God bless him if he goes back to doing what he's called to do and placards Christ and his blood before a congregation of sinners faithfully every single week.
Rod Rosenblatt is my guest. We're talking about preaching Christ crucified, preaching Christ alone. You know, there's a reason why St. Paul says, I have determined to know nothing among you except Christ and him crucified. He doesn't say, I have determined to know nothing among you except Christ. He clarifies who this Christ is that he preaches. Christ crucified for sinners, and even for Christians. When we come back, we'll take your phone calls. We'll also talk about another popular Christ that's being preached nowadays, the Christ in your heart, the Christ who is your inner lover. 1-800-730-2727. That's 1-800-730-2727. Dr. Rod Rosenblatt is co-host of the national radio program called The White Horse Inn and author of the booklet titled Christ Alone. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Issues Etc. on the Jubilee Network.
Noted author and history professor Dr. Paul Meyer on the uniqueness of Issues Etc.
I'm delighted not only to listen to Issues Etc., but also to have the privilege of being on the program from time to time. Issues is never afraid to take a stand on the thorny, vexing issues that clutter our daily horizons. And it does so in the name of a solidly based Christianity that doesn't flirt with fads or fantasies. Whereas some Christian programs sidestep ethical and doctrinal questions in our day, Issues takes them head-on in a fearless, responsible, thoughtful manner. Both head and heart are involved when Issues applies Holy Scripture.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift this week. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can make a credit card donation by calling our resource line at 1-800-737-0172.
By the way, we recently recorded a five-hour tape series with our guest in this hour, Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, on the subject of Christ Alone. Now, we'll send you this tape series and Rod's booklet called Christ Alone for a gift of $100 to Issues Etc. between now and the end of the year. In return for any size gift, remember, we will send you our new 15-minute Issues Etc. demo tape. For a contribution of $50, we'll mail you the demo tape and Dr. Paul Meyer's book called The First Christmas. For a contribution of $250, we'll send you all these premiums. You can make a year-end tax-deductible credit card donation to Issues Etc. by calling our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Or you can mail your donation to Issues Etc. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. That's Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. The phone number again, 1-800-737-0172. The mailing address, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Dr. Rod Rosenblatt is my guest. The topic, Preaching Christ Crucified, Preaching Christ Alone. The last example of a false Christ being preached nowadays, you call him Christ the Lover. What do you mean?
Well, I mean Christ presented in the way that the mystics understand him. And I would have guessed that this would have been clearly seen by every Reformation pastor and even evangelical pastors as a false Christ, but it isn't working out that way. In some evangelical seminaries, the writings of the medieval mystics, St. John of the Cross, Teresa of Avila, and others, are recommended to the soon-to-be pastors to recommend to their people in the congregation as the sort of thing that can provide water when you're feeling dry inside. Luther rightly saw that there was another ladder to heaven that was illegitimate. It didn't have to be just giving of alms or making pilgrimages or that sort of thing. He saw that inner mystical experience, even of Christ, could serve as a means of self-justification apart from Christ's death.
So as someone turns inward to find the Christ in their heart, And they seek communion with Christ in their heart. They seek to grow closer to Jesus in their heart with their you know, private Jesus time. It's nothing more than old medieval mysticism.
It really is, and it's more frightening than the rest in a way, because it comes across as more spiritual than the others. So it's really more frightening to me than some of the others on the market. Spirituality, you've probably had shows on it, spirituality in contemporary American conversation scares me to death.
Why is that?
Well, because I think it's an anti-Christic way of saying, I've heard people out here in California say, oh, I'm very spiritual, I'm not a Christian. And it maybe hasn't worked its way east, but that's a pretty common phrase out here. I'm very spiritual, but I'm not a Christian.
Now, we've got it out here, too. I think that's pretty much nationwide.
Yeah, a spirituality that has nothing to do with the cross and is committed against the cross.
Let's go to the phones. Our phone number is 1-800-730-2727. That's 1-800-730-2727. First up, Bob calling from St. Louis, listening on KSIV. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Todd. I'd like to ask a question about Romans 2, verse 25 through 27. Paul speaks of an individual who is apparently uncircumcised and practicing the law, keeping the requirements of the law. Does your guest believe this individual to be a hypothetical impossibility or actually the sanctified life?
All right, very good question. Thanks, Bob. Okay, the passage, I'll read it for you real quickly, Bob, so you can get a handle on where he's at. Starting at verse 25 of Romans chapter 2, for indeed circumcision is of value if you practice the law, but if you are a transgressor of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. If, therefore, the uncircumcised man keeps the requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? Is it possible that someone can abide by all the tenets of the law?
It really isn't. In chapter 1 of Romans, the overall theme is Paul levels his guns at the pagans who imagine, because they don't have Moses, that they will be able to plead at the last day when Christ returns, don't jump on us, we had no book. Go jump on the Jews, they had the book. And Paul says you will never, never be able to get away with that argument. In chapter 2, as the Jews are standing off on the side and saying, give it to them, Lord, they deserve it, every single lick of it, give it to them. Then he turns to his fellow Jews and says, do you imagine that you are, because you possess the oracles of God, in good with God? The Jew is condemned by the law as well as the Gentile. It isn't the hearer of the law that is justified, but the doer of the law. And as a matter of fact, Jew or Gentile, by the time you're in chapter 3, the whole world is condemned before God, Jew and Gentile alike. And nobody gets to say, I'm innocent.
So I think if we drive further into Romans and then later into Paul's other epistles, we also find out that Christ's perfect obedience to the law is really part and parcel of what we've been talking about during this hour.
Absolutely.
Christ crucified, that's perfect obedience.
Absolutely. When you're talking about Christ as the one who did live the law and where it's credited to you as if you lived it, then you're talking gospel.
Our phone number, 1-800-730-2727. Dr. Rod Rosenblatt is my guest. We're talking about preaching Christ crucified, preaching Christ alone. You made mention earlier of St. Paul writing to the Corinthians, and there are several places there in chapter 1 and 2 where he mentions Christ and him crucified, and he talks about it as foolishness. What does he mean?
Well, he knows his culture very, very well, and he knows that the Greeks seek wisdom, and the Jews look for signs. But he says, in contrast to both of those things, we, Christians, apostles, preach Christ crucified. That is, if you're into wisdom and practical ways to live and Aesop's fables and moralism and all that, he says, we're going to put something else in its place. Or if you're into do a trick for us, Jesus, do something wild for us. And he replies, no sign will be given to this wicked generation except the Son of Man being put into the heart of the earth as Jonah was put into the belly of the Leviathan for 3 days. Even so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days. He would not do tricks as a magician. And Paul knew this. So what he says is the Christian message is Christ crucified. And what it means is Christ carrying the burden of our sin, bleeding and dying on the cross, such that we will be given eternal life by what he did.
So when someone wants to find, or at least consider the possibility of keeping the law, if they listen to the law, that would pretty much shut their mouth.
Oh, yeah.
But if they want to find the keeping of the law in Christ, there's true comfort.
Pardon me?
Then, when they find the keeping of the law in Christ, then there's true comfort.
Yeah, the Christ himself did keep it, and that's credited to them as if they do. Now, every single person who hears a theology of grace like this, Paul figured, was going to say, you are making legitimate sin. You're arguing in such a way that you are making things that are sinful okay. And Paul would answer, and he does, may it never be. He sets up the question by saying, shall we then sin that grace might abound? God forbid, or may it never be. What people don't realize is that a theology that starts in grace, has grace only in the middle, and ends in grace alone is the only thing that can really encourage a person to try and live the law.
Let's go back to the phones real quickly as time winds down. Percy in Washington, Missouri, KSIV is also his station. Hi, Percy.
Hello, am I on the air?
Yeah, real quick,
okay,
Percy.
Okay, I just want to make a quick comment here. You started your program by saying that the Apostle Paul determined not to know anything among the Corinthians save Jesus Christ and him crucified. My comment is this. I think that the Apostle Paul used that phrase as a synecdoche, that is, as a figure for the whole of his ministry. I don't think he was focusing singularly on Christ on the cross. I think that he also preached among all the places that he went to why Christ came to die, his actual death, what occurred when he died.
All right, Percy, we got to let you go so we can give Rod a chance to respond to this. Very quickly, leave us with Christ crucified. Why does Paul... Is he just using a figure of speech?
Well, this is not mechanical or literalistic, but there's no doubt he's saying, if you're going to find out by coming what I'm going to talk about, my subject is going to be Christ crucified. Remember I said the law has got to be in the background of this?
Yes.
This isn't mechanicalistic. In many ways, I agree with your caller. But he's setting it against the Greek idea of wisdom and the Jewish idea of signs and saying, I'm going to do neither of those. I'm going to set Christ before your eyes, and the Christ I'm going to set before your eyes is the one nailed to the cross and bleeding.
Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Folks, St. Paul says to the Galatians as well, right at the end of his epistle to them, may it never be that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is his message. That is not only the beginning message that puts us on the road of faith and makes us Christians, it's what keeps us Christians. It will be the message that we will plead before God on the last day, Christ crucified for me. We won't have anything in our hands to present before God except Christ has been crucified for me, a sinner. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen to Pastor Todd Wilkin weekly on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our address is Issues Etc., Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Visit us on the World Wide Web at www.issuesetc.org. That's issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. 1-800-737-0172. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.